John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. If I could only take one passage of scripture with me on Desert Island Discs. You actually get the whole Bible, don't you, the authorised version. But if I could only take one passage, then for me this would be it. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know if you've ever seen the Walt Disney film Hercules. You've seen that one? With my children, I have to see it nearly every day. But in the film, the Greek gods are real and active. And nobody in the film ever says, "Do you believe in Zeus?" Or, "Which is the real God? What's the true religion?" Because Zeus is actually there to see. He lives on a mountain and you could travel to it. He comes to visit and people actually meet him. And that's what makes the story fun. We pretend it's all real for an hour and a half. And in the Disney film, the Greek gods are there to meet and speak to. And that kind of represents the kind of concrete reality that merely human religion always fails to deliver, doesn't it? That kind of concrete reality. The only gods we can ever concretely meet in human religions are statues, idols, who get carried around in processions by people. Well, because let's face it, they're just blocks of wood, built and decorated by human beings. But even those religions that don't go in for that kind of idolatry tell us that the God they worship is too important, too high up for anyone to actually ever see them or hear them. Their gods are always hiding away in some heaven, far away, too big, too self-important to ever pay a personal visit. We're told that getting directly involved with humanity is too demeaning for such gods. But tonight, we are celebrating not a children's fantasy, a Walt Disney film, or some theoretical god who lives in the yonder. We're not worshipping a god that we've created ourselves, or a snooty god living in a huge mansion surrounded by security fences and guards. We don't waste our time with a fiction dreamed up by our own minds. We worship the one true living God who has actually visited, who has actually appeared among us, not as a block of wood, but as a living, breathing human being. We've gathered here in the middle of the night for one reason. We acknowledge that only one God has bothered to show up. Will the real God stand up? Well, he has. Only one has. Only the real God has actually visited us. Only one God is real. The God of the Bible, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what's so exciting about Christmas. Truth has appeared. There is such a thing as the truth. That's an amazing thing to hear today, isn't it? There is such a thing as the truth. But if there was no truth, or if the truth was hidden and was left to human guesswork, then, well, we might as well dream up a god or gods to suit our fancy, or maybe not bother with it at all. We make up fairy stories, don't we, for children. And we can populate our fairy stories with anything we can dream up. Dragons and unicorns and fairies, magical swords, enchanted forests. Doesn't matter, it's all just fictional. It's pretend. It's not a real enchanted forest. We couldn't be accused of not being historically accurate to the actual magical sword or something like that. And so if there'd never been a Christmas, if God was some speechless, some silent, abstract being, floating somewhere far away, well then that's all religion could ever be, isn't it? Fairy stories invented to make the world seem more magical. We could argue about who's invented the best furry story, but that's all we'd ever be doing if God was silent like that. However, John chapter 1, the Word, the divine person by whom the universe was created, he became one of us, ending all religious discussion and argument. What is there to argue about now that God has visited and told us the way it is? We're not discussing abstract religious ideas tonight, are we? That's not what we're celebrating, abstract religious ideas or ethical principles. We're not on a spiritual pilgrimage, searching for God. No, we're celebrating truth this Christmas. Truth as a concrete reality that does exist and has visited us. Truth as a historical person. We didn't find him. We celebrate the fact that he found us. He appeared among us as a real physical human being. We're not travelling to him as if we had the ability to make such a journey. How could we ever go about finding God? How would we do that? No, he travelled into the far country to find us. And that's why giving gifts is such an appropriate thing to do at Christmas, isn't it? Jesus of Nazareth was not the product of human work. He was not the outcome of a religious quest. He was not the fruit of genetic engineering or skillful education. He was, as we've just all confessed, conceived of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. He was born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will. Rather, he was born by the miraculous intervening power of God. He was the true light shining in the darkness. He was sent by the Father, not deserved by us. And it's God who's made the Spirit, the spiritual pilgrimage, coming to us, finding us, arriving at us as his destination. You know, I've grown tired of religion. And that's why I'm here tonight. That's why I do what I do, because I've grown tired of religion. And I hope you have too. And that is why Christians have always said that Christianity is not a religion. Christians never like to be described as religious people, do we? We don't like, they say, oh, you're a religious person. No, I'm not. No, I'm not a religious person. I'm a Christian. We all say that, don't we? Because religion is always about human things. Human thinking, human ideas, human philosophy, human effort. And that's something we can no longer believe in, even if we ever did. Surely what we cry out for, isn't it, is truth and reality. Which of us can put up with the pompous pretensions of human religion any longer? Which of us wants to be palmed off with ritual and ceremony and pilgrimages and religious practices when all we want, all we need, is to meet with the living God? That's what we want. But that is the reality that we're confronted with at Christmas. It's not an aimless desire. It's answered. John chapter 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten God who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The living God became flesh. Though he was the creator, he became a creature. And John writes, we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son who came from the Father. And remember how John began his first letter that we had read for us. He says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have handled, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it, says John. We've seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing words, isn't it, to begin his letter. So what are we doing? We're historians this evening. That's what we all are. We're historians. We're bearing witness to something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're not following cleverly invented human fables or religious myths. We're students of a historical event. The life of a historical person who actually lived 2,000 years ago, who chose 12 disciples to go and bear witness to what he said and did. So we've gathered here tonight, not to stare into the sky, but to look into a manger, to think about a baby that was once born in Israel. We do this because we believe that the birth of that child is the salvation of the human race, that there is no hope for us except through the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of that human who was born in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but sometimes I catch a glimpse of myself as holy God sees me, always. Sometimes I see my own heart and mind in the light of the transparent goodness of God. I see my heart, evil desires and selfishness that fester within me. And it seems that if the world is to be restored, I myself must be done away with, because even if I were in a perfect world, even if I was in the Garden of Eden, I'd ruin it as Adam, our ancestor, did. And I almost despair sometimes. But it's then that I remind myself of this passage of Scripture, John chapter 1, and of the message of Christmas. John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not been able to overcome the light, has not been able to defeat the light. At the first Christmas, God came amongst us, shining so brightly that all our evil and darkness could not overcome him. The living God was displayed for us to see, and he lived among us, teaching us, healing us, answering our questions. And anyone, John says, anyone who simply trusts in him is given the power, the right, to become children of God. Well, that's why we take this meal of Holy Communion tonight. We want to turn from our sin once again, because we want to celebrate this Christmas, don't we? We want to enjoy it and enter into it, and for it to be a true celebration of this reality. So we want to turn from our sin once again. We want to forsake ourselves once again. And we want to turn to Jesus of Nazareth once again. We want to throw our lot in with him once again, committing ourselves to him as Lord and Saviour once again. Why? Because we won't settle for anything less than direct access to the living God. We won't put up with anything less than a personal encounter with the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's celebrate this festival in the knowledge that by this birth we have been liberated from all human religion, and we've been introduced to the living God by the eternal Son who was from the beginning and has always existed at the Father's side. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the majesty, all the honour, and all the power, now, on this night of nights, and forever. Amen.